It is indeed a joy and a privilege to be back with you folks tonight. We want to thank you for partnering with us in Porto Alegre, Brazil. We're going to get this thing on here. And we have been in Brazil since about 1991. It'll be 20 years this coming year, but your church took us on before we ever got to the field. So you've actually been partnering with us for some time. I'd like for you to imagine about 650,000 to 700,000 people coming at you through the street, and you have just a handful of tracks, and these people are walking by following a statue of Mary. They're throwing flowers to her, asking her for cures, thanking her for certain favors that she supposedly has done for them. Some are even crawling on their knees, people of imperfect health, but all because they believe there's some power in that statue to cure them or to help them along their way. And that is what we're going to see now as we go to Brazil by way of DVD. And in this presentation, you will see us working in a particular event. It's the 2nd of February each year, and that's exactly the number of people that you're going to see. None of the scenes that you will see of people are the same folks. They're different groups. And my daughter, Natalie, was standing on the street corner as we were giving out the tracks. She was filming as they came by, and I asked her to pan around and go up the street and just to kind of give you sort of a feeling of what it's like to be standing there and seeing these multitudes, our multitudes of people coming that the Lord has given us to reach. So let's look at the DVD now and see what the Lord is doing in Brazil.
When Jesus saw the multitudes, he saw a harvest that is plenteous. He saw laborers that were few. And Jesus was moved with compassion and action as he exhorted his disciples to pray, to give, and to go. In obedience to his call, our family went to Brazil in July 1991. After language school training, we moved to Rio Grande do Sul, and the capital city of Porto Alegre in June of 1992. Over the past 18 years, souls have been saved, baptized, discipled, and organized into local churches. In 2003, the Fundamental Baptist Seminary was founded, where we have been training men to pastor these new church plants. In January of 2009, God began to stir in my heart about further efforts to reach the 11 million gaúchos of our state. The gospel to every creature. The gospel to every gaúcho. But how, Lord? How can we do this? How can we reach the countless masses blinded through Roman Catholicism, through Spiritism, those fainting multitudes of lost sheep, our multitudes, bound for a Christless eternity in hell? Literally hundreds of cities scattered across our state with over 100,000 people and still no faithful gospel witness. How, Lord? How? It was during this time of prayer and searching God's Word that Gaúchos for Christ was born. At the close of a special service in which we introduced our burden to our Brazilian believers, God moved in their hearts, and in just over 7 minutes, they raised the necessary funds to rent a stand at the largest international farm and livestock fair in our state. And that was just the beginning of God showing us how we can reach our multitudes with the glorious good news of the gospel. A Christian ministry miraculously received a new printing press just 2 weeks before we needed our first 100,000 tracts printed. And in 8 days, 140 Brazilian believers of all ages from 14 of our local churches distributed 94,000 tracts to our multitudes. Numerous times we were able to share the gospel one-on-one with those who passed by. Gloriously, Luiz Henrique Paloski from a city in the far west of our state passed by the stand that week and found Christ as his Savior. entire church evangelistic ministries were energized as the members went back to their churches and began to take the gospel out to the parks and to the soccer fields in their area. One member suggested that we go out to the week of Fajopilla, which is a celebration of the Gauchos' victory in a military affair. Over a weekend, 27,000 tracts were given out. One of the most remarkable scenes that I experienced was watching William, a converted crack addict, giving out tracts while Hinaldo, an experienced German Christian leader, fervently witnessed by his side to those who passed by. Yes, we began to see this was how the Lord was directing in our reaching our multitudes. As of May 2010, 330,000 tracts have been printed and distributed by over 300 believers in 20 of our fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches of our state. Wonderful fruit that will remain has come through these efforts. For example, cooperation between missionaries and congregations has led to youth meetings where youth are being challenged to give their lives to Christ and to the cause of evangelism. The eyes of many are being opened to countless opportunities to reach our multitudes for Christ one by one, baptizing them, discipling them, training them to become reapers. Anderson and Thais were saved, baptized, discipled, and now are teaching Sunday school and reaching the lost among their family and friends. Another exciting development is the coordination efforts launched by our seminary to unite all the curriculums of local Bible institutes, purposefully seeking to prepare more men for the ministry. After 3 years in their institutes, they will be able to come to our seminary for intensified training. Reaching our multitudes for Christ, this continues to be our challenge. Will you pray? Pray for direction in our statewide evangelistic outreach. There are fairs and farm shows and large events all across our state throughout the year. Pray for continued zeal among our churches to see the lost come to Christ, discipled, and sent out into the harvest. Pray for those who are going, like Danielle and Christian, two young men who graduated from our seminary and plan to plant churches in our state beginning this year. Will you pray for our next step as we start a new church plant in Vila Nova, a neighborhood of Porto Alegre with 38,000 people? What about your multitudes? How has the Lord directed you to be involved in reaching the multitudes that surround you, in your family, your job, your school, your community, those without Christ? Perhaps He's calling you to come over and help us. Would you pray? Pray for the rings as we seek to reach our multitudes in Rio Grande do Sul. Will you give so that we and your other missionaries can continue to go? Will you go? Is God calling you to surrender your life as a reaper in the harvest? Oh, that the Lord will open our eyes to our multitude.
Let me see this world, dear Lord. Help me see.
You may have seen someone familiar. Your missionary Mike and Hannah Martin are working with us. As a matter of fact, the church plant that we're planning to do in the neighborhood of Vila Nova, Brother Mike and Jim Muskevich and myself have been scouting that area out for some time. And as soon as we get back, we came home May the 7th. Our desire is to be in as many of our supporting churches as we possibly can and be back right after Christmas. We didn't realize how close right after Christmas we were talking about till our daughter, who's being pursued by a mission aviation pilot from Mount Calvary, who is in his last year. He's thinking about Papua New Guinea. He's thinking about Madagascar or Togo. We couldn't figure out why our daughter Natalie went to Brazil, was learning to speak Portuguese, came to Bob Jones, and minored in French. Now we find out that Togo and Madagascar, their trade language is French. So who knows where the Lord might have Natalie and this young man go, if that's the Lord's will. But he wants to visit Brazil right after Christmas. We're talking the day after Christmas. So if he visits, he would like to have someone down there that could help him around. It might be that we will go back like the day after Christmas, but for sure in the early part of the year, because all the seasons are just the opposite. 37 degrees it was about 2 or 3 days ago in Port Alegre. It was in the 40s today, so it's a little bit warmer. But that's our winter time. We do have actual cold weather, very humid, very cold. And we're as far south of the equator as Jacksonville, Florida is north of the equator with a few mountains. And so we do have some cooler weather. But because of where we're located, a lot of German, a lot of Italian, a lot of European people have moved to that part of Brazil. And it makes it a great challenge for us. But would you pray for us? I have a specific request. The day that we were looking at with all the Catholics walking through the street, or Spiritists after that particular statue, we're not able to use our Gaúcho for Christ track. This particular track has 14 names of churches on the back that are participating with us. And what will happen is what happened to this one. When they get it, if a Catholic person turns it over and sees a Baptist church name on the back, it goes on the ground and gets stomped on. So we're using Mary's Command to Catholics. My prayer request is that you would pray with us. The Fellowship Track League in Lebanon, Ohio would allow us to have the rights, the copyrights, to print their Portuguese track. They're wanting to send me a pallet of 540,000 tracks. The problem is, how do we get the pallet? Right now, expenses for shipping and for postage are making these kinds of gifts from the States almost non-cost effective. It almost just is not worth it because we can't raise the funds to get them there. But we have the printing press available to us. This particular track, we just printed 220,000 more for the next Gaúcho for Christ event, which is the second round of our going to that big event, Expo Inter. It's going to be the 28th of August through the 5th of September. Brother Crowder, Brother Dwayne Spear, and some of the other brothers that are still down there, they're working on trying to pull all the coordinates together, but the Brazilians raised the money, about $3,500, to pay for the stand. The 220,000 tracks have been paid for, and all those t-shirts they're using this year, they're going to have bonés, which are hats with the Gaúcho for Christ on them. We're very excited to hear what's going to happen this coming year. Hey, that gives me a good stopping point to say, come and see us. You can come any time of the year because we have something going on all the time. Dr. McLaughlin and the Calvary Baptist Church from Huntsville, Alabama are down there now visiting. And we've had Calvert and the folks from Fairfax Baptist Temple come. One of our special things to offer you is the seminary building has 24 furnished dormitory rooms. And so you don't have to come sleep on the floor or sleep in a hammock. You come sleep in a dormitory room there at the seminary and be a part of getting these tracks out. How much Portuguese do you have to be able to speak to hand someone a track? And so we could use you. We'd love to have youth, love to have adults. Church over here in Sylvania, Georgia, got together and sent one of the members of the church. Pastor said he'd been wanting to get rid of that guy for a long time. They sent him all the way to Brazil, but I guess they paid enough for him to get back to. So Wade Ward had a wonderful time. But we would love to have you come and see firsthand what the Lord is doing and be a part, as you already are, but be a part physically of seeing and participating in that ministry, and there's things going on year-round. But would you pray that the Fellowship Track League would allow us to print that track in Port Alegre? If they would do that, that would facilitate things greatly for us. I'm going to ask you to turn back to Matthew 9, the same verse that was on our screen as we started out, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 to 38. I'm also going to ask a favor that we, something we do in our Portuguese services and our Brazilian churches, and that is we all stand when the Bible is being read. So if you find your place in Matthew chapter 9, I would ask you to stand with me, please. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, have a word of prayer, and bring a message from the Word of God that will serve as an update on the ministry in Porto Alegre. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It's encouraging to see folks with their Bibles open, hear the pages turning. In Brazil, they wait for me to give a page number. We're dealing with first-generation believers, but it's an encouragement to see that you folks are already there. So in Matthew 9:35, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Can we read a few verses in chapter 10, verse 1, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12, he names them here. And if we look down in verse number 7, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ever receive, freely give. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. We are grateful. Our family is indebted to you, Lord, and grateful to this church, the Westside Baptist Church, for their faithful support and their prayers down through the years. Lord, we've partnered together for many years, and we've come back and been encouraged to watch the growth of this church, growth in their physical plant, growth in their number. We're encouraged, Lord, to hear how you're adding to this church and to its ministry. We're excited to see how they're reaching their multitudes here in Augusta and are also involved in getting the gospel out around the world. I pray that tonight the Spirit of God would quiet our hearts, would calm our hearts, but would also challenge us afresh and anew with this very, very well-known portion of Scripture. But I pray, Father, that you would do a work in our heart tonight that eternity would tell the benefit of, that we'd be able to hear in years in the future of those who came to Christ because of being challenged tonight, of those, Lord, that were challenged to be more effective and more fervent on the local level, and perhaps even someone who tonight, Lord, will answer the call, here am I, Lord, send me. Work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A survey was done in a seminary of various students who were studying for the ministry. Some of these men had been working on a doctoral thesis on the Good Samaritan. So they decided to try a certain little challenge to see how these men would respond. They called them into the dean's office and they told these men that they were to go to another building and give an impromptu speech on the Good Samaritan. What these men did not know was they had also talked with an actor. And they had talked with him that as these people were men were to come out of the door going to the other building to give the impromptu speech, he was to fake as though he were fainting and falling in front of them. And they were wanting to do a survey of the reaction of these men training for the ministry, some of them even writing a doctoral dissertation on the Good Samaritan. So it was interesting as these men were told one at a time that their next challenge was to go to the next building. They walked out the door and 75% of them stepped right over the man as he acted as though he was fainting, as they were going rushing headlong to their next assignment, their next appointment, which was nothing less than a speech or an impromptu talk on the Good Samaritan. Now we may laugh or chuckle about that. It shouldn't be a chuckling matter, but at the same time we may think, well, that's not me. You know, I am aware of the people around me. I see people, but I wonder, do we see as Jesus saw? In this passage of Scripture tonight, very simply, I'd like to share with us that we need to see as Jesus saw, to feel as Jesus felt, but not leave it there. We need to do as Jesus did. Now, there's nothing significantly deep or theological about those three points, but I want to say tonight that if we will see as Jesus saw, if we will feel as Jesus felt, and if we will do what Jesus did, there will be more people that will hear the gospel through our lips, through our participation in our mission outreach, and perhaps even someone tonight would believe God would be calling them to take this message across the sea as well as around the corner. But tonight, as we think about how did Jesus see, go back with me to the text in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because. And as we see this because, we're going to see what Jesus saw. What did he see? He said they fainted. The word fainted here is perplexed. These people were beaten down. These people were trodden under. These people were like sheep without a shepherd, not knowing what to do. The second thing we see here is they were scattered abroad. Now, I've read the book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, a tremendous book. I hope that you get a chance sometime in your Christian experience to read that book. And he talks in that passage of Scripture about the 23rd Psalm, about something that's called cast sheep, or something that is known as cast up sheep. And these cast sheep are, as he tells it, a shepherd talking about sheep. He said that it's possible for a sheep to get turned over on his back. And like a turtle, he can't get righted. He sits there flailing away, his legs in the air. He's trying for all he's worth to get turned over. And I did not know this about sheep, but Mr. Philip Keller says unless a shepherd comes or someone comes to help him, he is coyote bait. He is a setting duck for his prey, for the enemy. And as we have traveled, since my wife and I and daughter have come back from Brazil, we're traveling, we're hearing just so many stories that just tell us that people are like sheep. People are scattered like sheep. Just recently in the Chattanooga area, a young couple lost their baby, 15 months old. That family is now filing for divorce. The seasoned father and mother who have been to Bible college and have actually ministered and pastored, the man has pastored church, are having tremendous, tremendous, tremendous problems with this. And I see them as folks just exactly like what we're talking about here. Jesus said, fainting sheep, scattered abroad, or legs up in the air sheep, those that are just hopeless and helpless unless someone were to come and to help them. Jesus saw these people as a harvest, as he mentions in verse 37. If we remember John chapter 4 and verse 35, the Lord says to his disciples as that Samaritan woman has gone back into Sychar and she's brought out those people that are coming to see a man that told her everything she did is not this the Christ. And they're coming out of the city. I think those five former husbands of hers probably were leading the pack. They want to know just exactly what does this man know about us. But here comes this group of people across the wheat fields, and as the Lord Jesus looks up and sees them coming, he said, say you not there 4 months and then cometh the harvest. I tell you what, lift up your eyes, Jesus said, and look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. The harvest, Jesus, when he talks about the harvest, he's talking about, as we say in Portuguese, já. That's already. When we were watching the news as we first got to Brazil, the news director would say, we're going to take a break and we'll be back, já, já. And já, já means already, already. Boy, that's just in a blink of time, about that quick. And when Jesus talks about doing something for the harvest, it's not when you get your post-hole digger degree. It's not when your kids are graduated from high school. It's not when you get all your bills paid. It's already. We need to be involved in this already. As you think back with me to those pictures you were seeing, and as I shared with you, not a single one of those shots was the same one. We were seeing different people each time. Imagine that for about an hour's time as just floods of people just began to come. And as you look into those faces, I have a program, Picasa, on my internet or on my computer, and it will single out of large groups of people. If I took a picture of you tonight, I could go through later on and look at every one of your pictures individually. It'll single you out. And I don't know, when you see this mass group of people come by, sometimes there's just so many you can't concentrate on any single one. But when I went back and looked, the wrinkled faces and the heavy lines and the burden and the stress that these people are carrying. And that young man that was crawling on his knees, he was actually reading a Ba Gaoshal track. He was reading one of our tracks, except it wasn't the Ba Gaoshal, it was the Mary track. He was reading the Mary track, and he was crawling along. There was nothing wrong with him. He wasn't physically disabled. He was doing that out of trying to win favor with Mary, the mother of Jesus, because after all, you know, if you want to get a favor from the son, go to the mother, and she'll get the son to do what she wants him to, and that's exactly what the Catholic mindset is about that. But as I thought about those people that are so burdened and so hopeless and so helpless, unless someone comes and shares the gospel of the Lord Jesus, I think that is seeing as Jesus sees. People are all around us. People at the restaurant. We've shared gospel tracts everywhere we've been since we've been home. And, you know, many times we're surprised at their reactions. There was a young man in Lebanon, Tennessee, just a couple of days ago. And I gave him a track, and I thought he's going to be one of those guys, hey, I don't want anything to do with that. And he said, you know something, I'm not a Christian, but I'm searching, I'm looking. Now, he would have been the last person that I would have thought, now, there's a guy that needs a track, I'm going to go give him one. I thought, you know, I don't know if he's even interested. And here was a guy that says, I'm searching, I'm looking. My wife gave a track to a lady in a Dollar General store in Little Rock, Arkansas. And the lady just came up to her and said, thank you. That's exactly what I needed. I needed something like that. We need to have the eyes of Jesus and see as Jesus saw. If you were to come to Porto Alegre, Brazil, there are 4 million people in our city. We could take you up to the Morro de Santa Teresa, the hill of St. Teresa, and you could look in all directions and just see by who are neighborhood after neighborhood, city after city, from up there across the river in Guayba. There is just all sorts of places that need the gospel. In our state, there are over, as we mentioned, 100 cities, Bajé, Sant'Angelo, there is Uruguayana, there is Pilatus, and just go on and on and on down the list of church of cities that need the gospel, of hopeless sheep, of helpless sheep, of sheep with their legs in the air, with no one except the predators, the religious, we call them the flock fleecers. They're everywhere. They're looking to take advantage of the helpless and the hopeless sheep. And so as Jesus saw, he didn't just leave it at that. Many of us in our lifetime can remember back when we really had a burden for the lost. We can remember, and I'm having pastors tell me, yes, our people used to be very involved in evangelism, very involved in outreach, very involved in mission and in missions. But they're using the past tense, used to be. I wonder what it is that has blocked our vision. What is it that's taken our mind off of the multitudes that we're not seeing them anymore, any longer, as Jesus saw the multitudes? Jesus felt something. Something went on in Jesus' interior being, as we might say. Real deep inside, deep down inside. And we go back to the 9th chapter, and it says that he was moved with compassion. Now we know the Jews have various ways of describing the heart. They have various locations. The intestinal part of the body, the stomach, was included in their overall view of the heart. But Jesus got it real deep. Have you ever gotten tragic news? Or have you ever gotten some real heavy news all of a sudden, just you hurt all over? It just really hurts deep down inside. And as Jesus looked out at these multitudes, he saw what they were going through. He saw their need, but he sensed it. He felt it. And it was really bothering him. It did something to him. I was in Porto Alegre in 1988 on the corner of Andrades and Salgado Filho. That is the main point in downtown Porto Alegre. And I looked up the street and I thought everyone in the city, all 4 million, were on that street. Then I would turn and look the other way while I said, they must have moved. It looks like they're all over there. Every direction there were just people like this. It's like ants on an anthill in all the directions. Now, I had been in Atlanta, I'd been in Miami, I'd been in Houston, I'd been in large cities here in the United States. I had seen cities of large population, but I never had seen the people on the streets, the people walking. And God has broke my heart then about that. And I still, every time I'm downtown in Porto Alegre, I just feel the oppression of those people under Spiritism and Catholicism and without Christ. And I want to do something about it. And so what do? We give them the gospel through the track. I call that shotgun evangelism because we just spread it out in all directions. 94,000 of these tracks went out. And you know something? Every now and again, you find the mark. There was the young man, Luis Pulaski, the long-haired fellow I was talking to in one of the slides there. That young man lived 11 hours away from Porto Alegre. There would have been no human way that I would have ever crossed paths with him. Except when God broke my heart for this ministry of getting the gospel to every gaucho, and our pastors got together and they got their churches together and we said, we've got to do something. And we went out to that farm fair and we rented the stand and we got the tracts printed and we got the people out there and we started giving them out. God did his part. God brought this lost soul from 11 hours away. Not only is his city 11 hours away, he lives 20 minutes outside of that city, has no mail service to his house. No postal service to his house. His father goes into town. When his dad goes into town once a week, this boy rides to town with him. And when he gets to town, he goes to what's called a LAN house, which is a place that has the internet. And we do our discipleship while he's in town once a week visiting with his father. But God did that. God brought him in. Well, we had a lady from Curitiba. That's a city about 9 hours away. And this lady went to the site along with the track. We have the Gauchos for Christ, gauchosparacristo.com.br, which is the website. It's all in Portuguese. You can go and look in the pictures at the pictures in English, I tell people. But anyway, we have a 6-minute video presentation of the gospel. We have 21 churches there with Google Maps, time of services, pastor's contact information. And a lady went there. She saw the church at Venceslau Escobar, which, by the way, is where Brother Martin was working in his first term. And she went to tell her husband about it. He didn't want to know anything about it, but he said, tell you what, I will go to the service with you just so you won't have to go by yourself. an unsaved man. He came. She got right with the Lord that night. He liked what he heard. He went back to church. He got saved. He was baptized and was discipled. I'm not sure Brother Martin could have been the one who discipled him, but I do know this. Before we came back on our furlough, he was already enrolled in the Bible Institute, already taking the course on the methods of Bible study. A man who just a short while ago did not even know Jesus Christ as his Savior. If you will see as Jesus saw, and if you will begin to feel and begin to sense that I must do something about it by the direction of the Spirit of God, I can promise you that He will bring people across your path. He will bring people across your path that need the Lord as badly as you want to tell someone about the Lord. And it's so exciting to see how the Lord has done that. As well as doing that, He will get the reapers to the field. He says here in this passage of Scripture that we were reading, the harvest is plenteous. Pray for the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. This is getting into what Jesus did about it, but I want to share this with you at this time about the Galatians for Christ, because this goes out on the WWW, you know, that's the World Wide Web. 24 different nations. We've had visitors, unique visitors from over 24 different nations. And most recently, a man from New Zealand. 17 years ago, he left Brazil. He came to the United States and went back to serve in the Marines in Brazil. Someone knew he found out he could speak English. They took him to Europe as a translator. He was in Europe and got invited to New Zealand. He went to New Zealand and is running a drywall company there in New Zealand when he got saved. He was taken to a fundamental Baptist church by the man who led him to the Lord. He was trained in that church, and God has put a burden in his heart to send him back to the country from which he left so many years ago, back to Brazil with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's on the internet looking for something. He finds Galatians for Christ. He's in touch with Brother Crowder and hopes to make a visit before Christmas in one of those many cities I mentioned to you. We hope that man will be there. If you will do what God wants you to do and having a passion, a compassion for those lost souls, I can promise you the Lord will put in your path those to whom He is wanting to share the glorious good news of His Son. What did Jesus do? Well, He said pray, and we mentioned that. It's not mentioned in this passage of Scripture, but in Luke, we find out that before Jesus sent out these 12, and that's why I read a little bit into the 10th chapter, this is the sending out of the 12. Jesus prayed all night in Luke chapter 6. We also find out in Luke chapter 10 that the same idea here is mentioned again when Jesus sent out the 70 on another occasion. So it was always in Jesus' heart, always in Jesus' mind when He saw the multitudes, when He thought of the many lost sheep without a shepherd, when He thought of those legs up sheep, when He thought of those who were perplexed and who were trodden down. Jesus, when He thought of the harvest, He had an inward moving feeling of deep down emotional compassion for those people. And He wanted to do something about it. And He said, something we can do is pray. Tonight, our son Nathan is returning from the C team, the SEA, the Bob Jones Southeastern Asia team. When God gave us our children, we literally believe that God gave us those children. They're not ours, they're His. We've dedicated them to the Lord. We went to Brazil as missionaries, and we've told our children from the very beginning, they're not ours, they're God's, and whatever God wants to do with them, that would be the most exciting thing that could happen to us or to them. So our son has always talked Brazil, Brazil, Brazil. This year he got a chance to go on the Southeast Asia missions team, and they've been in Myanmar, they've been in Singapore, they've been in Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, and they finished up in the Philippines. He's writing a whole lot about Cambodia. He's been saying a lot about Cambodia. We don't know whether or not that might be the direction that God would want him to go. But you know what my prayer is? Lord, take my son. He's yours. Use him for your honor and glory. If I never see his face again this side of heaven, the most exciting thing for me would be to know that my son is in the center of your will because he has a compassion for lost souls. And he wants to see people in the 1040 win to save as badly as he wants to see them saved down in southern Brazil. Our number two child is Natalie. That's the girl that the young man wants to take her to Africa somewhere or to Papua New Guinea. Noelle went last year on Bob Jones's Mexican mission team. When she got back, she was so burdened by what she saw in Mexico that now in Greenville and Taylor's area, she has a Saturday a Hispanic Bible club going on in a trailer park. Our son Nicholas was at the Wilds the same week your group was there. And he heard Tom Farrell preach, and at the end of one of Brother Farrell's services, he said God laid on his heart to go up front, and he has surrendered his life to go back to Brazil as a missionary evangelist. Our children, my prayer for my children, for my family is, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Send forth reapers into your harvest. Hear our cry, Lord, because the cry of the multitudes around this world are, send us someone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that your prayer? Would your greatest delight, your greatest joy be that God would call one of your children seated next to you tonight and send them perhaps off to some sin-darkened world, sin-darkened country around the globe or perhaps around the corner? Are we preparing our families? Are we praying? And are we sending them as Jesus sent them out here in this chapter 10? We have Jesus not only praying, but Jesus here calls these men together and he sends them out. And I'll promise you, if you go in the name of the Lord, if you go in the direction of the Lord, if you go under the guidance of the Lord, where God leads, he feeds. Where God guides, he provides. And I will promise you the most exciting life you have ever lived or could possibly live is the life lived in the center of the Lord's will, wherever that might be. I must share with you in closing tonight that Jesus not only saw, Jesus not only felt, but Jesus did something. And if we go back to that 35th verse of chapter 9, we read that verse on purpose, but we've left it until now. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is the threefold manifest, or the threefold tripod of Jesus' ministry. If you follow the Lord Jesus around through the gospels, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing. That was what his ministry was all about. It's not that all of a sudden one day he woke up and there were needs of people all over the world and he says, uh-oh, now I've got to do something about it. Jesus went about his life doing something about it. His whole coming to this earth was to do something about it. His whole death or his whole birth and his life and his death, burial, and resurrection was all about the lost sheep. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the earth. And what a blessing it is that we have this message. But Jesus was teaching, he was preaching healing. How does that apply to me? If I want to do like Jesus did, what do I need to be doing? Let me share this very simply with you. You need to be sharing with the people in your community what God's teaching you in this local church. As you come to Sunday school and to Bible study, and as you come to the preaching time of God's Word, and as you have many other tools and access to many other opportunities to learn, you need to be sharing that with others. We're not called to be a sponge. We're not called to be a reservoir. We're called to be a river. God wants to flow through us. God wants to use us and help us to reach others. And so everything that he teaches you from this pulpit, everything he teaches you from these classrooms, from your mom and dad as you sit down with the Bible and read the Word of God in your home, as you do your personal Bible study in your Christian school or whatever school, your home school, whichever way you tend to go, whatever the direction is, God is wanting to teach you so that you can share with others. You learn so that you can share with other people. And that's so exciting to know. Now, in America, we've heard this too often. But I mentioned we have first-generation believers in our church. April of this past year, I asked folks in our Sunday morning service at Ponte Grossa, how many here have your mother or father were saved, your grandfather or grandmother saved, brother or sister saved, someone else in your family? Not a single hand. Every single person in the auditorium was a first-generation believer. Let me tell you the excitement of that. When they see something in the Word of God like we're talking about tonight, they haven't heard this 112 jillion times. They haven't had every missionary come in and put up his display board and show his little presentation, his wife singing, him get up and try to talk about Matthew 9. This is new to them. And it's so fresh and it's so exciting for them to be able to see that what God is teaching them, he's teaching them that he might reach through them to other people. And they just want to go out and tell others. That Anderson and Thais, well, I would have a Bible study with him. His eyes would begin to get big and tears would come into his eyes and he would begin to feel exactly what we were talking about. Why, you know what? I could be sharing that at my workplace. Why, you know, my dad needs to hear about that. I need to tell my unsaved father about that. And that's so thrilling. That's so exciting. But why doesn't that happen to us? Why are we missing out? What a blessing it is to be able to teach the Word of God, but what a blessing it is to be able to take what is taught and use that as God helps us and puts us in the right contacts, right places to talk with other people. Preaching the gospel. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. I don't have time to develop the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and all these the terminology used here. But I can say this, Jesus went about preaching the gospel. And that's exactly what we need to tell. The good news, Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to share it. We need to talk about it. We need to take it in gospel track form. We need to send it out through the internet. We need to give it to people when we pay our bills, give them a gospel track. Just take every way we possibly can. There's a passage we've been using in Ecclesiastes in chapter 11 where Solomon says, cast your bread upon the water and after many days it'll come back. And he talks about seven, if not seven, then eight. And as I was studying that seven or eight, that's do everything you can in every possible imaginable way and then do more. That's exactly what he's saying. Do all you can think to do and ask God to help you to think of more. What are more ways that you could be used of God to share the gospel with other people all around you? That's why we're here. Do as Jesus did. Uh-oh, here we come. Healing. Now the preacher's gotten off into Pentecostalism. No, I haven't. Do you know something? If you will turn very quickly, we're going to end on in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, at one of the judgments, the king on the throne is bringing, the judge on the throne is bringing the people before him, and he makes some interesting statements. We're going to read Matthew 25, 35 to 40. This is when the king says to those on his right hand, verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom, prepare for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I would like to say that while we do not have apostolic powers to heal, my shadow, as far as I know, has not cured anyone. As I've walked down the streets of Porto Alegre, now I have been able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and see people come to the Lord. I have not had any hankies that have been sanctified and, you know, send them out and people touch them and they get healed. We're not into that. But I'll tell you something, there's power in the human touch. There's power in putting your arm around someone and telling them Jesus died for their sins. There's a great, great, great blessing in going to the hospital, going to the nursing home, going to the prison, and just being there for people and being that person that can share the word of encouragement, that can take that sheep that's turned up with his legs flailing in the air and can help right him by giving him something from the word of God. What a great opportunity we have to have a part in the healing of many people as we just do what Jesus did. We get involved in people's lives. It's not about what's going on in these four walls and that's it. This is to prepare us to go out there and live the Christian life in such a way that we're calling attention not to us but to our Savior. And people say, boy, you've got something. There's something unusual about you. What is it that you have that I don't have? Could I have some of that? I'm here in this pulpit tonight because a man many, many years ago in the Ozarks of Arkansas lived his Christian life. My grandfather was an unsaved man, but he knew that George Krigler had something he didn't have. And George Krigler did not have a theological degree. All he knew was what he was getting from the Rings Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. Just something from church, from his teachers. And he lived the Christian life, and my grandfather said, I don't know what you've got, George. Whatever you've got, I sure need it. And George won my granddaddy to the Lord, and my granddaddy took my daddy to church. He got saved, and praise the Lord. My daddy was able to take me to church, and I got saved, and on it goes. What a blessing to be able to see as Jesus saw. Do you have his eyes tonight? Let me see this world through your eyes, dear Lord. That's what the song said on the DVD. As men mock your holy name. Lord, I want to feel, I want to be able to sense what I'm seeing has something to do with me and why I'm here and why you have me here at this time. And Lord, I want to be able to do something about it. Maybe it's put my arm around that person and share my personal testimony. Maybe it's to invite them to this church where they can hear sound preaching from the Word of God. Perhaps it's to give their name to the visitation group so someone can go see them. Or maybe it's to be in the hospital just to hold their hand when they get the news about cancer. Maybe it's to be there as they're burying some dead child that has just
been taken suddenly from them. Maybe you need to be there in the nursing home when that person really has trouble reasoning and rationalizing, but you just need to be there for them. What a joy, what a blessing it is to see, to feel, and to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the joy of knowing our sins are forgiven. We're so grateful, Father, for the privilege as Americans of having heard a clear gospel presentation. Father, you call my family to a part of the world where very rarely in a lifetime does a Brazilian in our part of Brazil hear that Jesus died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very few times do they ever... they hear a hodgepodge. They hear a potpourri. They hear a little of this and a little of that and a whole lot of something else, but very rarely do they hear it. And even more rarely do they see it being lived out in the life of Christians. But Father, I pray tonight that you'll challenge my heart, challenge the West Side Baptist Church. May you deeply, Lord, move in our hearts tonight, and may we go forth sensing the fact that perhaps we've not been stepping over people on our way to our next appointment. Perhaps we haven't been had our eyes as open as we could. Perhaps, Lord, we haven't been involved in helping right those sheep that are flailing away around us. Perhaps, Lord, it's been a long time since we've knelt with someone and just prayed with them about a burden that they've had. We've been there for them when they've been in a great crisis moment in their life. Oh, Father, I pray tonight that we'll see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt. And by your grace and through your power, do as Jesus did. Perhaps that will mean someone present tonight will need to come forward and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I know that you want me to go to the foreign field." Perhaps that'll be someone that'll say, "Father, it's been a long time since I've shared my testimony of salvation with my colleague at work or my neighbor, and they need to come tonight and just consecrate their lives by the grace of God to be a more effective and a witness for you." Perhaps, Lord, there's someone here that's not even a born-again Christian. They've never come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we want to have compassion on that soul. We want that person to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For as Tammy's saying, there's a hell to escape. There's a hell fire that awaits those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray if anyone here does not know Christ, that tonight would be their night of salvation. Lord, would you do in our hearts, would you do in our midst, that which only you can do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.